It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I totally thought I had a open bit, and I don't remember what it was. Oh. Must have been great. So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world still sponsored by Volume Shoe Source, because that doesn't exist anymore, and so it's just us. As many of you know, Volume Shoe Source used to be the regional title for Payless Shoe Source. Because in the West Coast, Pacific Northwest in particular, there was a drugstore chain already called Payless. So they had to switch to Volume. And then eventually Payless was bought out by Rite Aid. And then Payless Shoes was like, thank goodness. Now we can all be Payless Shoes. And now they are. But I grew up with Volume Shoes, because I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and I had cheap parents. It was always funny to me because every once in a while they would show their own commercial, and that always cracked me up. Because they had commercials at Volume, but every once in a while they'd have them with Payless and they'd accidentally air them. And I was like, ah, you fools. I can't go to Payless. What were you thinking?
And you think I'm a nerd?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 563. I know and, that. Oh, because it's what? Right over there.
There we go. Hey, don't magician shouldn't give away his secrets. No, and it's the first time in quite a while we're actually recording on Thursday.
Yeah, on a Thursday.
Yeah, all these freaking holidays and listeners who want to have lunch with me, and I'm very popular now, so it's just been crazy. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All people in the world, by international law, are required on a regular basis to write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever you want. Topics, questions, comments, thoughts, thought experiments, pitches for new episodes for Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone. I don't care. The hat cares. The hat then decides pretty comfortably. I think the bar is pretty low to forward them to us. And then we read them on the air, talk about them, except when we don't. There you go. That's our show. Good night. So we've had a little thing called Christmas happen since we last spoke.
Yeah. You want to talk about Christmas?
Well, I thought we should just discuss how the holiday went. Any notable acquisitions, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh.
Did you get in trouble for throwing Delmer up in the air? That kind of business. Except, have you not, you, oh, no, it's the opposite. Sorry. Somebody else I know is having their Christmas on New Year's because of various things. You had your Christmas back when you weren't aware you were having your Christmas.
Yeah, kind of. The 18th, yeah.
Way back in October, they were like, you know that time you brought me that one thing, William? Let's call that Christmas. I don't want to see you again until next year.
Yep.
So did you do anything over the holiday weekend per se?
Didn't do a thing, which was fine because it was nice to not do anything. But Jazz got me some comic books from like the mid-70s. Technically, they were issued in the mid-70s, but they have reprints of okay, so in the mid-70s, DC started releasing these comic books called Batman Family, and they were stories that were supposed to feature like Batgirl and Robin and things like that, not just Batman, right? Although Batman's pretty much in all of them. But most of these are reprints of things from late Silver Age DC Batman and Robin and early Bronze Age Batman and Robin. So you get some Silver Age stuff, but you also get like the early stuff that Dennis O'Neill was doing and Neil Adams was, you know, doing the art and stuff for. But anyway, I've been reading those because they're so good and they're so awesome. And I was realizing while I was reading them too, that, I didn't learn to read until school. I mean, a lot of kids learn to read like at home and their parents read to them and they learn, you know, way before they start school. I didn't learn to read until first grade. So these were coming out about the time I was learning to read. And when I did learn to read, I could read fairly well right away. I was in like advanced reading after that. So these are, I would definitely have read these, you know, if mom and dad had been buying them for me, like, oh, Billy can read now, let's buy him some comic books. They could have bought me these and I could have read them and I would have loved them. As it turns out, when I was reading comic books, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old or whatever, I was mostly getting them from the local library and they were older comic books by then. I mean, a lot of them. So, I mean, I'm sure if I saw them, I'd recognize them. But I haven't seen any of these before, except one of them. One of the issues is the introduction of the Man Bat. That was in 1970, and this was reprinted in 75. And I had read that one before somehow. I don't remember where I'd seen it before. But the rest of them I haven't seen before, and they're so good. I mean, they're also not good, if that makes sense. You know, like it's not.
Oh yeah.
It's not like high literature or anything. But it's very pulpy and it's very fun.
In our house, we tend to use the term awesome, which is different than good or bad. You can be awesome and be either of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I love them. I just love them. And Jazz got me these for Christmas and I just on my Kindle and I love reading them.
What I'm mostly hearing is that Jazz is your new parental figure because she gave you the comics that your own parents never would.
It's like I say, I mean,
also, I have it. I mean, I'm not one to delve into conspiracy theories, but I have it on good authority that Neil Adams and Dennis O'Neill are just one guy named Dennis O'Neill Adams.
I liked their
stuff. That's what they say. His stuff. One guy.
When they teamed up, man, that was just good stuff. And I have to admit, when I was a kid, it was mostly Neil Adams' art that was so cool because a lot of times I didn't always get the stories because they're actually fairly sophisticated. A lot of O'Neill's stories were, and they were kind of went over my head, but the art
was
really good.
Mr. and Mrs. Wright, William appears to read very well, but in his writing, there is a preponderance of terms like pow and kablam. Perhaps you could speak to him on this and see where this is coming from.
You know,
sincerely, Lady McTeacherface.
The late Silver Age stuff does have, I mean, that does have that stuff. That was another thing that impressed me was, you know, sometimes the 1966 show or whatever is kind of made fun of for how campy it was and everything, but it was pretty comics accurate also. So, you know, for the kids who watched it and didn't really get all the camp references and stuff, you know, they could go from that and read the comic book. And it was very consistent in how it looked and in its tone and in the type of stories it was telling. That was pretty impressive, actually. And then later, what you get with the Bronze Age is they're figuring out, well, we don't have to have we don't have to tell stories on this level for the kids and on this level for the adults. We can tell one story that appeals to both. It's still going to appeal to them in different ways on different levels, but we don't have to double entendre it. You know, we can tell, and I think Warner Brothers cartoons are the same way. They were made for adults, obviously, to show in theaters, but they do appeal to people of all ages, yes, in different ways, but not in that bifurcated way that the Batman 66 does, right? Where it's like the adults get it here and the kids get it here, and it's definitely in two things. I don't, maybe I'm not making any sense. But anyhow, that's what I've been doing, reading those comic books and really liking it. Abby's been playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima. I saw that was happening. Is she enjoying that?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's basically
definitely on my list.
It's basically Red Dead Redemption in 13th century Japan.
That's interesting, because everybody else in the world says it's basically Assassin's Creed in 13th century Japan.
Well, I mean, yeah, probably that's. But you know, as someone who, you know, Abby hasn't played Assassin's Creed that much.
I know. I'm saying this might be a sign that maybe she should be playing more Assassin's Creed.
Well, I mean, she tried it, and I didn't really get into it that much.
Which one did she try?
I don't remember. But you're right. If she tried a different one or even the same one again and really, you know, gave it more of a chance, she might really like it. But I mean, when I'm watching this, it, you know, it just, sometimes it's like, wow, this is just like Red Dead Redemption and how it looks and the things you do. And you know, it not just like, obviously, because it's, you know, it's set in 13th century Japan, and it's got a lot of very interesting cultural references, a couple of anachronisms, but you know, mostly it's really good. It looks great. It plays well. She likes playing it. So yeah, and I like watching it, although sometimes it's a little bit too, because you can control the camera, the player can control the camera, and when that when that's going on, it kind of messes with my head, makes me motion sick.
It looks good. It's definitely on my list to get to at some point. Although I'm really just sort of going with my gut lately on what I feel like playing. So I make weird choices and don't necessarily play things for very long anymore.
That's pretty good. I mean,
I might be hitting that new point in my life where I'm sort of getting outgrowing video games, at least on a certain level. I don't know. It's weird.
Understood. And we watched The Matrix. We watched the Matrix.
Oh, yeah. I didn't plan to watch it. And then I watched the pitch meeting. And then I was like, I made the right call.
Oh, my gosh. The pitch meeting is spot on. We watched the trilogy first, which was better than I remembered. The first movie was a lot better than I remembered. I could see us watching that again and again.
First movie is a treasure, without a doubt.
But I could also see us watching the whole trilogy, you know, not every time we watch the first one, but sometimes we'll probably, you know, let's just watch the whole thing, cause it's kind of fun. But it really set the bar high for the, you know, watching the fourth movie, and it did not meet those expectations at all. I think had they just made it a 6-episode series, streaming series, because what it felt like was a 2.5 hour, 250, whatever, 2 hour, 15 minute, whatever it was.
Long pilot movie.
Pilot episode for a streaming show is what it felt like.
Well, and something along the lines of The Matrix would make a great series.
This is what I'm saying.
But yeah,
if they had just done that, I think the expectations would have been at the proper place for this type of offering.
But remember, when they were putting this together, they didn't know we would be living in the end times. And so the plan was this would go to a movie theater and make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, maybe. I mean, there's just so many aspects of it that looks like they're setting up. Well, maybe a film franchise with these other.
Yeah, maybe a trilogy. Yeah, which I don't know if it'll work or not. I don't think it's doing super well.
Well, the thing is, though, the secondary characters that they seem to be setting up and some of the conceits that they're setting up, the new types of fancy things that are different from the previous Matrix stuff, aren't bad. I mean, I could see them making even films, even very good films from it. It was just a very weak setup, and it's just not going to be enough. If they, here's the thing. If you like The Matrix, you're probably not going to like this movie. But if you like Sense8, you might like this movie. Because it's that.
That's tricky because there's a lot of people who both like The Matrix and Sense8.
Well, I mean, Sense8 was okay, but it wasn't. I mean, it was a TV show made from what I regarded as TV material. And this, you know, this definitely had that Sense8 kind of feel to it, which I'm not knocking, but it didn't make a good film. If I'd seen it as a TV show, I think my expectations would have been in the right place to go, okay, not really my thing, but I'm interested next season and I'll watch it, that kind of thing. But as a film, no. As a follow-up to that, to the trilogy that we watched right before it, not even close. It's too bad because, you know, I thought everybody, the acting I thought was quite good and everybody put in a good effort. And I liked all the actors, really. I like Keanu Reeves. I like Carrie Ann Moss. I liked, what's his name? The guy that, Doogie Howser. What's his name?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. He was good in it. The stuff they did with his character was a little, but he was good. I mean, everybody deserves kudos for showing up and putting in the work and doing a good job. But I don't know if the script was at fault. I think the direction kind of was, but I don't know if that's because only one of the Wachowskis was involved. Just Lily, right? Is that? Or which one?
I don't remember their names, but yeah, one of them was involved and one of them took a step back from this publicly.
You know, maybe they work better together. I don't know. But then again, like I said, if it had been a TV show, I don't think I would have loved it, but I think I would have said, yeah, this is all right. Let's watch another season and see how it goes. And if they go that route, by the way, I will watch it. If they decide, you know what, we can salvage this by having a streaming show with this cast, with this new cast of side characters or whatever, I'd watch that. I mean, they were perfectly competent and I'd watch it. And I think it could probably be pretty decent if they got, you know, good writers and directors in there. So we'll see what they do with it. But unfortunately it's kind of a bomb. I mean, like really a bomb. So I don't think there's.
Yeah. I seem to recall hearing it's not doing well.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, monetarily, like it's not going to make as much as it costs.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And that's when that happens. Yeah.
And there's a lot right now, the sort of the change in the model, because we're currently at a thing where we're having to release some stuff on streaming because of the theaters aren't doing it. And I think companies are still sort of assuming like this is just a little hitch for a while and then we'll go back, but I'm not sure it is. And I think you might have to start rethinking your models a little bit, but we'll see.
I think another thing that might be happening, I don't know this for sure, but I've noticed this on televisions, like before we had the TV we have now, I noticed this on other people's televisions. And then we got a new television a little while ago and I noticed it on ours. Stuff doesn't look the same. I mean, like a movie that you used to watch and part of it was on a soundstage, but you couldn't tell it was on a stage. I mean, you knew it was, but you couldn't really tell. Now you can tell. Now it's like, wow, that's a soundstage. So, and some of the special effects don't look as good because the televisions are better, I guess, you know.
When we were at my in-laws, I walked in and they were watching the Preacher's Wife. Severely underrated movie, by the way. Great movie. And I was like, what is this? Because I wasn't sure. And they said, it's Preacher's Wife. And I was like, yeah. I said, I didn't remember this was shot on video.
Right. That's right.
And now later on, I'm like, I think it was just the TV. The resolution is essentially too high.
Because
we saw a couple other things later that I'm like, this had, and I thought that was just a frame rate issue, but I think if you get a resolution at a certain point, it does the same thing.
Yeah. So I wonder if
that's weird,
changing how people, you know, since a lot of people are watching these not for the first time in the theater, right? So they can't be wowed by whatever's the visuals are. They see it for the first time on their television, and you know,
you've got a generation of still working, very successful filmmakers who all think the only way to enjoy a movie is on a big screen in a theater, and televisions are the work of the devil. So once all of these, let's be honest, old white guys die off, people can make movies with the thought in mind that it might be shown on a 1080p television. Because I watch TV shows that don't look weird. So clearly the technology exists to not make it look weird on the television.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now we're like, no, it still has to be in 35 millimeter or occasionally 70 millimeter because some fucker decided to invent that. Like,
oy. Well, the technology has existed for middle class people to be able to have a pretty quality home theater experience. That's existed for probably 25 years now. And it's only being accessible to more people. So, and the, like you pointed out, the resolution is only better and the sound quality is only better. So, I mean, the idea that the best way to experience these things in the theater, I mean, sure, some people are always going to feel that way, but there's going to be a growing number of people who don't. And yes. So you're going to have to learn.
Right now, the people who feel those way are at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're so that's what producers. I'm saying is once they die off or at least fucking retire, yeah, then a bunch of people can be like, hey, I like making films. I also like good TVs. Let's see what we can do.
Like the special effects in the Matrix trilogy did not look that great on this television.
Yeah.
But they were a long time ago. So you got to allow a little bit of that.
Did the characters actually refer to it as bullet time in the movie?
Yes, they did.
That really happened? Oh my God.
Well, because see, they tried to get meta. They tried to get
That's
meta.
That's true, because it was about a movie series called The Matrix.
A video game called The Matrix.
Video. Oh, okay.
So they, and so at the pitch meeting made fun of that, saying, well, see, if you get meta and you make some kind of cutesy comment about it, that makes it sophisticated instead of stupid. But it was still stupid. And they also kind of took a swipe at the industry and maybe Warner Brothers a little bit while they were doing that, which again I think was supposed to seem edgy and hip, but it just seemed like a ploy to, you know, kind of wink at the audience and get them on your side, and it didn't really work.
The only way it's hip is if, genuinely speaking, they did not want to make this movie and basically Warner Brothers pressured them into it, because otherwise it's like, no, you're the one doing it. So the fuck. But
well, it just didn't really work. But you know, some people might like it. I don't know.
No, and I don't begrudge it. This is I have to start treating this as about my journey. They are still making sequels and remakes of stuff that I don't need. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't do it. It means it's not for me and I don't need to see it. I'm not going to see this. I'm not going to see the new Ghostbusters. And it's not because they're bad. It's because I've had my Matrix and my Ghostbusters. I don't need more at all.
You remember in the pitch meeting where the producer said, wow, that sounds like a pretty interesting movie. And he said, doesn't it? Well, let's get back to this movie. That's true. There were a lot of things in Matrix 4 that you're like, oh, that's a cool idea. I want to see that. But you didn't see that.
But that's everywhere. I recently rewatched every Star Wars pitch meeting in Star Wars chronology order.
Yeah, right.
Starting with Phantom Menace and going forward. And the number of times they were like, oh, that's cool. Tell me more about that. And he's like, nope. Yeah, is in there a lot.
That happens.
And they've had it with some of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Sounds like you should make a movie about them. Yeah, it does. Anyway.
No, they had some really good ideas in the Matrix 4. Very, very good. But those weren't, that's not the story that was told. They told something else that was not as compelling and interesting.
The Wachowskis have always had cool ideas.
That's part of the reason why
film critique aside, the Wachowskis come up with cool ideas.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I think a TV show would be cool, because those ideas would get fleshed out, maybe explored. And I am interested in them. I'm interested, you know, I wasn't a huge Matrix fan, mostly because the last two films let me down. I probably would have really gotten into it if I'd liked those other two films more, because it was very smart. It was very, at least the first film was very smart, very creative. It was, I don't know. It really introduced a cyberpunk sensibility and aesthetic into the culture in a way that nothing else before it had.
And it even though I didn't play it and wouldn't play it and don't think anybody should have played it, it's done now. They were also one of the first MMO tie-ins that had persistent impact between the video games and the story. I don't think you could impact. I think the Defiance one is the one where shit that you did in the video game could potentially impact the TV show. But the Matrix was one where shit would happen in the video game, and in the next movie, that what happened in the video game would have happened. It wasn't stuff that they had control over like in other ones, but it was the first where the stories fit together.
Yeah, well, we were watching, I think it was the third one, the third Matrix. I kept reminding Abby about the video game that she played, you know, that had...
Niobe.
Yeah. And I had to keep reminding her, hey, you remember what
happened? Jada Pinkett Smith for everyone else.
Yeah. By the way. I kept having to say, hey, you remember what happened before this in the video game? You don't see it in the movie, but in the video game, this happens. And I remember thinking that was actually pretty cool. Yeah. She didn't remember any.
Yeah. And then, then video games later, like I said, Defiance had this where like there would be events in the video game, and if they succeeded or failed in the TV show, that thing had succeeded or failed, like that campaign.
Oh, in Defiance. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that one, not only were they tied in, but what happened in the video game actually, then the writers had to adjust accordingly in the TV show and vice versa.
I like Defiance. Okay. What? But it got canceled, right?
It got finished. It did three seasons that actually wrapped itself up.
Maybe I didn't see the third season.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to me. I think there was a big gap between two and three. Actually, maybe I never got past one. I also really liked it, but then never picked it up again. And then the video game lasted. Well, the video game started off horrible, and we all assumed it would go away in like 2 seconds. It lasted several years after the TV show, and only fairly recently got canceled, I think.
Wow. Anyway, how did your holiday go? You traveled and everything.
I did travel and everything. It was interesting. I think I talked before. My mother-in-law said she was going to sort of step back a little bit because she was tired.
Yeah.
And so she made a turkey, and she bought a ham, and she made some roast beef before anybody was there. And all of our meals were just basically getting left over. Then, I mean, she bought a bunch of other crap too. We would just sort of make sandwiches and do whatever. One night we got pizza, but that was it. And that was great. What also happened is my niece got sick again.
Oh, no.
We actually weren't entirely sure. At first, it seemed like it was sort of, she just was having sort of a mental health day kind of thing. But then it was, no, she's actually sick. So then did a rapid response COVID and it was negative, all good. And then her mother did a little bit more research, and it turns out apparently rapid response ones are not particularly effective at spotting the Omicron variant.
Oh.
So they were like, crap, okay, we'll go and get a real doctor test.
Sure.
But they did that very shortly before Christmas. And as many of you may know, infection rates are through the fucking roof right now. And so people are testing through the fucking roof. So didn't hear back, and ended up hearing back late on the 26th.
Wow.
But what this meant was that whole chunk of the family, Trisha's sister, her husband, and their two kids, couldn't come.
Oh.
Even though they were like less than half a mile away.
Oh. Oh, that's too bad.
They were sort of quarantining. And that sucked. And I wanted to see them. But it also meant it was me and Trish, her other sister, Stephanie, and the two parents. And that was it for the whole weekend. So it was really chill. And that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was just very relaxed. And that was fairly enjoyable. And I did miss seeing them. And I hope we'll go maybe in February out there and people won't be sick and we'll see them. But ending bit to that story, turns out the niece has COVID. So real glad we did this.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Came back. We got home on Sunday and later Trish got a text. It's like, oh, turns out she's got COVID. I was like, all right. I'm glad we did all those things then.
Wow. Is she okay now?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, she's 17, so she's all vaccinated and everything.
Sure. Sure.
So yeah, I haven't heard that it's much. I mean, her mom got it a long time ago and it was just like having a cold. So
what
some people are still theorizing that the COVID I had might have been COVID and that the test was just wrong because the symptoms were pretty similar and the intensity was about what you would expect given I have all the vaccines. All the vaccines.
What kind of cake did Jesus get this year?
Just vanilla. I didn't ever actually have any. But he apparently baby Jesus told my mother-in-law he wanted vanilla. that in 1 year he said he wanted chocolate, so you gotta watch out for that.
Oh man, what is baby Jesus gonna ask for, like a Black Forest or
right
maybe a carrot?
Baby Jesus wants pie this year, you know? This is the thing though, it's Jesus is not particularly demanding about what sort of birthday cake. That would be rude. That's not baby Jesus's style. Not at all. Things of note that I got style. That I got for Christmas this year, I'd say there are two particular things. Well, that being said, the side of the family that was quarantining, we actually went there and they were on their porch and we like put stuff out and they got it. They wouldn't give us their gifts because they're like, we don't know if it's infected. So I don't know what I got from them yet. But okay. Outside of that, I got an Instant Pot, which I'm actually pretty excited about.
Yeah, we've got a couple. And they're awesome.
When they first came out, I wasn't interested because I'm like, I have a pressure cooker. I don't use it.
Yeah.
And also, the whole world went insane about it. So I immediately, my hipster thing kicked in. And I'm like, yeah, fuck your Instant Pot. But
you could have liked it ironically.
Yeah. Well, the neighbors got one. And the neighbors, when they get a new thing, that's all they, like, that's the only kitchen appliance they'll use until the next new thing. They're past it now and they're doing a lot of air frying. But at the time it was Instant Pot. And that's when I discovered it's more than just a pressure cooker. It can do a bunch of crap. It can be a crock pot. It can do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And also things that changed is I started cooking. We started eating more homemade stuff and the kitchen was cleaner and like there would be a space. So I've been thinking about it. In fact, when I was in the grocery store, they were selling them for like $80 shortly before Christmas. And I was like, oh, maybe we should get one. You know, I should talk to Trish about this. Maybe we should do this. And then I totally forgot about it. And then I got one for Christmas. And that was awesome.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, that's awesome.
And the other thing I got is a giant brick of salt.
You mean like you put out for the deer?
I mean,
a salt lick?
Not like that. It is a slab of Himalayan pink salt in a solid block that is 8 inches by 8 inches by 2 inches and weighs more than my house. We actually finally tried to put it on the bathroom scale and it kept erroring out, but for just a second it would say something. So I think it's 9.2 pounds. It is heavy as fuck, is my point.
Mm.
And what you do with it, after it's been cured, which is something I still have to do, which involves putting it in the oven for a while and not opening the oven door afterward because the cold air could make it shatter.
Oh.
But once it is cured, you can use it for three things.
Okay.
One, you put it in the oven for a certain amount of time till it's fucking hot. You take it out and you cook shit on it. Like it was a griddle or something, like a little grill top.
Oh.
And apparently you don't season it at all. The slab seasons it and apparently tastes really, really good.
Really? Interesting. Yes.
The second thing you do is it is a warm serving tray where you put it in the oven at some lower temperature. I'd have to search it. And then you put stuff on it and it keeps them warm, and also sitting on it seasons it.
Okay.
And the third thing is the exact opposite. You put it in the freezer, freeze it solid, and then you put things that you want to say cold or frozen on it as a serving tray. And it's like, you know, like Cold Stone Creamery or whatever. And again, just the little bit of salt gives it some seasoning that apparently is super awesome.
Hmm.
So actually, after we do this, I should go pick it up and I should cure it, because I'm hoping to use it for New Year's, although I don't know what I'm going to put on it. Yeah, so this seems really cool. As we all know, I've gotten a lot more into cooking. I've also gotten a lot more into salt specifically.
Hmm.
And I love Himalayan pink salt, so I'm very excited about this. But so far, it was just nothing but jokes about how heavy it was. Like when we were packing up the car, I was like, okay, here's the slab. It has to go in the center or it's going to screw up our wheel balance distribution because it's so fucking heavy. So yeah, there's that. But I got lots of other things. I don't want to downplay anything, but those are the two that like really jumped out at me that I really enjoyed. So I'm excited for those. Cool. And then we've been home and this week has been fucking bizarre. Because Trish isn't working and I'm not working. And because Trish is on vacation, she's not really doing anything because she's on vacation. And whenever Trish is on vacation, I often pull back pretty heavy. Like I do the bare minimum housework that needs to be done. I also haven't been cooking because we brought home a whole bunch of leftovers and that's what we've been eating. And so we have been totally losing track of what day it is. Our sleep schedules are insane. Now it's fun, but like come Monday, we're going to be hating life. So that's, and what really happened was hilarious is, so Wednesday I called my sister, which is a thing that often happens on Wednesday. My sister and I sort of negotiate. We talk once a week and we sort of negotiate depending on our schedules, but usually it's Wednesday. Okay. And often it's at 12:30 my time. Sometimes it's 10:30. This time I talked to my sister. She said, how about that? So we're doing it at 10:30. By sheer coincidence, my mother I call every week, and I call at 10:30 on Sunday. That's the time I always call. So Wednesday, 10:30, I talked to my sister. Blah, 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 blah. And if I bitch about mom, I love you too. Bye. And then I was playing a video game or something. I don't know. And Trish is still in the bed. And I go back there. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I was waiting for you to come and talk to me about lunch. And I was like, why am I talking to you? She's like, because you always get me lunch after you're done talking. Which is true. On Sunday, it is standard routine that I talk to my mom until it gets to be about lunchtime. And then I'm like, I got to go feed my wife. And I go to Trish and I'm like, what would you like for lunch? And she tells me and I go get it. And all for me too. And I was like, yeah, but it's Wednesday. And she's like, what? Yeah, it's not Sunday. She's like, holy crap, it's Wednesday. I was like, do you need me to get you lunch? I can still get you lunch. But yeah, that was not my plan because it's not Sunday. So yeah, she was that thrown off about what to, and just last night, she's like, tomorrow, what's tomorrow? And I was like, Thursday. She says, and is it New Year's Eve? I said, no, that's the next day. Like, okay. Because we're actually doing our New Year's Eve thing this year. We're doing it a little bit more secure. There's a group of us. And it used to be a lot more in the past, like friends, if they just wanted to drop it. Like this time, we're kind of being more specific of who is and who is not showing up. And if anybody has any side, we gamed over Zoom this week because enough of us traveled. We were like, you know what? We're going to wait and see. But everybody's been asymptomatic. So assuming that continues, we'll do some New Year's stuff. And I'm excited for that. One other cool thing that happened. Tuesday afternoon, Trish and I met up in Old Capitol Mall with my oldest nephew and hung out and had lunch with him and talked with him for a couple hours.
Oh.
He was, my brother's done this for years. So my brother works in admissions at his college. And so he used to drive a lot cross country. And also my brother's wife's parents live in Southern Illinois. And so they frequently would drive down there. So anytime they would get near Iowa City, he'd give us a call and be like, do you want to get together for a meal while we're coming through? And so we do that a lot. So my nephew, it turned out, was down in Southern Illinois at Christmas. And he texted me and he's like, I'm coming back Tuesday. Do you guys want to meet up for lunch? And we said, sure. But it's the first time we ever really got just time just with him. So that was kind of neat. We'd never really had that. It was a real good talk. We had a fun time. We talked about a lot of stuff. Really enjoyed it. It was really nice. So that was good. I've seen some terrible movies. It was.
You want to talk about them? Is that?
I need to mention them as public service announcement.
Okay.
Well, I should say actually, I think it was Christmas Eve. We were just looking for shit on TV and we ended up watching Overboard, the original 80s version with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Wow.
And I had to leave because I was prepared. Like, that movie on its face doesn't hold up. That movie is fucked up. I do not understand why they remade it, because that movie at its premise is a horror film.
Hmm.
Like, but it's done as a comedy. For those of you who don't remember, Overboard is a snooty rich lady is mean to a blue-collar worker who's repairing something of hers, I think. And then she falls off a boat and has amnesia. And the blue-collar worker sees it on TV, goes to the hospital, and convinces everyone she's actually his wife, and then takes her home. And makes her like slave for him and his children. But then over time, they grow to love her and she grows to love them. And it's a rom-com. But horrifying. I mean,
like, I don't think I've ever seen it. That sounds terrible.
What shocking me when it happened, it was the 80s, which, you know, we didn't know shit about shit. But there is a point in that movie where he is leaving for the day and going to work, and he is singing Zippity Doodah, and he's singing Zippity Doodah, Zippity A, My Oh My, What a Wonderful Slave, referring to her. And I'm like, the ship has sailed on the slave thing, whatever. Did they not notice that they picked the song that Uncle Remus sings from Song of the South?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's doubling down on that shit. And admittedly, I mean, I think Song of the South was technically still something you could purchase on VHS in the 80s. But damn. So I thought I'd be fine to watch it because I thought I could just rip on it. But unfortunately, there are older members of the household who it's one of their favorite movies, and I didn't want to do that to them. So I talked my sister-in-law, who also didn't want to watch it, to play a game in the other room. So we did that. And then it was over, and we came back in, and they were watching McClintock. It's an old John Wayne movie.
Oh, yeah.
It does not score better on the misogyny scale. A lot of it involves humiliating and tormenting his brat of a wife in the Old West. Because she's so full of herself. I turned to my mother-in-law multiple times and said, so whose side are we supposed to be on? And she said, his. And then later I was like, are you sure we're not supposed to be on her side? She said, no. So I left for that too. So that was weird. But no, I have a couple of movies I need to talk about real quick that you should not see. One of them, there's no reason y'all would see, but I won't tell you about it because it's funny. But there is one. If you have Shudder, like I do, and I recommend it, if you like horror movies, it's a great service. There is a Shudder exclusive they did recently called The Call. And I was excited because it had Tobin Bell from the Saw movies and Lynn Shay from every good horror you've ever seen in your life. Two older actors who are really good as this old married couple. And I was excited for that. And the whole thing involves teenagers being horrible to this old couple and then
basically they have to do this thing where they have to go pick up a phone and listen for a minute, and if they do, they get $100,000. But when they pick up the phone, weird ghost shit happens and whatever. I just want to warn all of you who are thinking you might check it out, don't check it out. I could totally watch a Lin Shay supercut of it. She does great. It's that thing again, also, where like somebody acting for real really highlights how shitty everyone else is. So that's the problem. But also, none of it works. None of it works. Like, I don't know who you're supposed to be rooting for, or like who you're supposed to be mad at. Because people who never did anything wrong get like tormented for eternity, and other people like are getting their revenge, but were also super shitty. And then like one of the people involved, I'm like, the reveal about one of the characters only works if it turns out they are a psychopath and always have been since they were a child. And that's not how they came across in the whole movie. But it turned out that the stuff they did and then just fucking got over and like flaunted it. Like, what am I saying? I don't know why I'm not spoiling this. It's a dumbass movie. So we hate the old couple because the old couple ran a daycare, and one of our only female characters, little sister, was at the daycare and then never came home. And we don't know what happened. We always assumed that the old lady, specifically the old lady, not her husband, killed the little girl. But she got a fancy lawyer, and so she got off, so then it never happened. So the teenagers have been tormenting her over the years. In particular, our female lead, who is the older sister, has been tormenting this woman for what I'm gonna guess is almost a decade, because they're all high school age now. For some reason, it's set in 87. What it turns out happened is the female lead, when she was younger and this happened, it was the birthday of the little sister, and the daycare lady gave her a cute necklace. And on the way home, she and her older sister, who seemed older, like 12 or 13, were talking about it. And the older sister was jealous because everybody thinks the little sister is special, including dad. And so she very deliberately and brutally ripped the necklace off of her and knocked her in the head with a brick and killed her. She fell off a bridge. She then proceeded to put on the necklace and wear it from then on and just go about her life. Like, she's just a teenager. Like, we meet her because our POV is the new kid. And she, like, takes a liking to him and they hang out. Like, she's a totally normal teenager with just teenagery things. There's a bit where one of her friends is an ex, unrequited love stuff. But, like, there's nothing about her that says she's a cold-blooded killer who took a memento and wears it proudly and proceeded to torture an old woman on the premise that that woman must have killed her sister, who she knows for a fact she killed. I'm like, how is this a character? And it's the least of it. Several people get killed for having had an abusive childhood. One person gets killed, I guess, for trying to help out. It's nonsense. It's garbage. So don't watch that. Also, don't watch The Stream, which is a found footage horror, so I don't know why you bother. It's dumb. It makes no sense. It tries to set itself up like a Twilight Zone episode, to the degree that the dude on the radio like narrates what's about to happen, a la Rod Serling. But nothing happens. It's really dumb. I want to mention it for one reason. It is approximately 75 minutes long, which I have learned over time is the official length for a feature film. I always thought it was more like 80 minutes or something, but it seems like it's 75. And if it's less than that, your film is usually referred to as a short film. This is not interesting, except insofar as there is a plot in this movie, it partially involves people being obsessed with a live stream of a dead man in a coffin. And he's just like, and supposedly people feel compelled to watch it. And also, if he looks at you, like, then you're going to die or go to hell or something. And he never opens his eyes in the whole movie. People claim he did, but, like, we never see it. So I find that weird. But the film ends. The credits roll. It's been an hour. Then we get 15 minutes of that footage. And yes, I looked through it all. No, he doesn't ever open his eyes or anything change. So they finished the movie, including the credits, in an hour, and then just did 15 minutes of a dude in a coffin like this. And lest you think I am leaving out context, I know nothing of who this man is or why anybody felt the need to look at him. I just know that some people did, and then they thought they saw him look at them, and then bad shit happened. And they are all, one dude tries to explain it at one point. They're in limbo, but like it never, whatever. So I was like, that is a hilariously cheap trick to try and make your film feature length. So also, I finished all the VHS movies. Absolutely skip them. All of you can skip them. Gross, terrible, dumb, bad. So I haven't been bad in 1,000 on movies, but we are almost done with season 2 of The Witcher, which we seem to be enjoying. We're finishing series 2 of Ghosts, and then I'm going to make Trish watch season 2 of Ted Lasso, although she is scared, which I understand because I lost my fucking mind during season 2 of Ted Lasso, but I'm still going to make her watch it. Yeah, that's mostly it. While I was home, my sister-in-law and her friend, who now lives far away but is still like her best friend, play video games on Thursday nights or whatever. And so she just brought the PlayStation over, and I played with them, and we played Diablo 3. And I hadn't played Diablo 3 in a long time, and I'm really mad at Blizzard and Activision right now. I'm not spending any money on them. But I already own Diablo 3. And so for some reason, I fired it up again a few days ago. And I've been playing a bunch of Diablo 3.
My great nephew was born over the since we podcasted
last. Yes, Pierce.
Yeah, Pierce.
You showed me a picture, and I believe I said getting big Remington Steel energy off of him. Definitely yeah, that vibe.
So my dad sends out a holiday. He'd hate for me to call it holiday. Christmas letter. He sends out a Christmas letter every year, but
making war on Christmas.
It didn't get sent out for Christmas because he was waiting for Pierce to be born so he could have Pierce's picture on the card that they sent. So only this week. So here's the thing. When Dad writes his Christmas letter, he writes it longhand, and then he sends me photographs of the pages so I can type it up, which...
I mean,
I know that sounds weird, but it's actually kind of fun when he does it. I enjoy helping him out with it.
I have so many questions, but I don't think I'm going to answer any of them. But like, there's layers to this.
It's fun. I mean, I kind of like it when he does it, and then I get to type it up. We can talk about, you know, ways to edit it so that it sounds, you know, better or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to fit on one sheet, both sides or whatever. And he's just talking about things that happened in the year.
And you had little clip art kabows and lambs.
It's just a typed page, you know, but I don't know. It's a fun thing that he and I do at the end of the year. I don't know. It's just a thing that we like to do together. And he, and a lot of the stuff is stuff that pertains to his wife's family, you know, so it's also good for me to sort of catch up with what her family's doing, because otherwise we don't really get together with her family very much. So anyhow, and
you can edit out parts, be like, Dad, this part is really inappropriate.
So anyway, so I did that this week. And so I've been talking to Dad a lot this week, and we've been talking about Pierce, and Pierce's middle name is Sterling, but it's spelled with an I, STI, like the town in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know anything about that, honestly, because when Dad first told me, I thought, wait, they're spelling it how? Why are they spelling it with an I? That doesn't make any sense. And then, well, I talked to Luke, that's my nephew, Luke, and he told me it's based on the town in Scotland. I thought, what?
I think the first name Sterling is most commonly actually spelled that way. I think.
Is it really?
I
didn't know that.
I might be wrong. I have definitely encountered that spelling before. And Sterling is like a known name.
Sure.
Like, and I know people named Sterling.
Oh, well,
I don't know, but I know actors and stuff.
I've heard of that name used before.
I think it's spelled I most of the time there.
Well, that makes sense.
Sterling or Sterling Silver. Or
right, whatever. Right. That makes sense that it would be named after that town or whatever, rather than like you said,
rather than the adjective for silver.
Yeah. So that was new to me. I didn't know anything about Sterling. I mean, if I did know anything about it, I'd forgotten it because I probably
have Sterling heard of it. Though. Are they trying to make this child retroactively be a villain in an Austin Powers movie? I mean, Jesus.
I don't know.
That is the most mod British sort of name there.
Yeah, I don't know what the.
I'm not mad at it. It feels very deliberate in a way I'm very curious about.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with it. But Sterling. At least he's probably never going to meet anyone else with that name.
Odds are good.
Which is probably why I shouldn't have said it. Send out at the internet this kid's name because
easy to find. I was legit going to call the episode that, but I don't think I'll do that. I think I'm going to stick with Lady McTeacherface.
Anyhow, he was born, so we're all happy about that. But it means dad's Christmas letter is a little late. But yeah, it's always fun every year when we can work on that. I think he wasn't sure that we would, because in the middle of this, I think it was the middle of this year, he had some other project that he wanted me to help him with. He doesn't usually, it's usually just the Christmas letter. But he had some other thing, and I guess he thought, hey, Bill helps me with this, he'll help me, you know, with the Christmas letter, he'll help me with it. But that was right in the middle of classes and stuff. And this was the quarter right before my surgery, and I had to really kind of get the quarter done a little earlier because my surgery was actually on the last day of the quarter. And so I said, no, I can't do that because I've got school and whatever. So I think he ended up not even doing the thing because I couldn't help him. So
this was your chance to make it up to your dad. And
yeah,
be a
it was.
Good son.
But I mean, besides the fact that I've done it for years now and I do enjoy doing it, I needed to make sure he knew that, okay, I'm not in school now, so I can do this just like I always do. And I think at first he thought that I wasn't going to be able to do it, but I told him when I saw him on the 18th, I said, hey, when are you going to send the Christmas letter out? Cause usually it's before Christmas because I can work on it. You know, I'm not in school. And he seemed pretty excited to find that out. And his wife, Nora was excited to find that out, but I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and it never came. So I thought, well, maybe they won't do it this year, but it turns out they were just waiting for Pierce to be born. So, and they had another, on her side of the family, a kid was born too this year. Mm-hmm. So then Abby's grandson was born this year. So that's a lot. That's a lot of kids born in the same year.
Going crazy. I'm going to start a tradition of doing a Christmas letter every year, but I'm only going to say it on the podcast. So we'll start this year. This year's Christmas letter is A.
Okay.
So next year we'll see. All right. I want to get a question in, even though we're running out of time here. People, I've been writing in. We have a few more, but not a ton. We can still always use more, please. We are definitely not at a point where I'm comfortable with the level we have. But here we go. Ooh, this is interesting. This is from Beth. And Beth apparently doesn't listen to the podcast, at least not as much as she thought she did. Says, dear TMTH, I understand the hat may not pull this question ahead of Christmas. Good eye. But after a decade of listening, maybe, I know our hosts have birthdays coming up soon too.
Oh, wow. That's good. Smart.
I came across this pistachio pedestal in the Uncommon Goods catalog and wanted to share it with you as a potential solution to your peanut problem. Will either of you be adding this to your wish list? Beth. Beth, fuck you.
What? That wasn't nice.
If you really have been listening for a decade, you would already know about the pistachio pedestal because you would already know that somebody already had the pistachio pedestal and has used it and that we talked about it a great deal on the podcast.
Okay, Tony, I've been in the podcast this whole time and I don't remember that.
Yes, but you're what we call a moron.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, it's 100% the same one. The picture is the thing I have. And we mostly talked about it because there's the big pile of shit in the living room. And we would sit there and it had fallen and it was just right in front of you all the time. And you would just see this cardboard box that said pistachio pedestal. And you asked about it and we saw it. Yeah, I own this exact thing. It is awesome. It has never occurred to me to use it for peanuts. Thank you for that idea, Beth. I might consider that. The fuck you thing was because I'm for the ratings, you know. The kids love it when I swear a lot. And that's, you know, that's the demographic we're really shooting for. I have this exact one. It's got the same color and everything. And I only ever use it on New Year's. And in fact, obviously last year we didn't do New Year's because COVID. The year before, I bought the pistachios. I forgot to take the pistachio pedestal. So we just had pistachios. But this year, I've got them thinking I'm going to get the pedestal and we're going to do it. Because that's the only time it ever comes up because we don't do parties, you know? So I have one and it's good.
Well, my answer was I just forwarded her email to my wife.
Nice.
Because here's the thing. We get a big bag of pistachios and sort of, a sectional, you know? And
yes.
And we've got a part of the sectional where I sit on one side and then there's this divider and she says, and we've got a big bag of pistachios right in the middle of us all the time we're constantly eating and we don't have anywhere to put the shells. Stop it. So no,
you know why I am interested. Here's the thing. I know this because you explained this exact thing when we talked about the pistachio pedestal the last time.
Are you sure?
Yes, I remember the exact thing of you eat pistachios and they're in the middle of the couch and you don't know what to do with the shelves. So this would be a great thing to have. Like either I've gone back in time or none of you listen to the podcast. And realistically, I'm the only one who legit never listens to the podcast.
There's only one episode of the podcast that I've never listened to. And it's not that one, I'm sure.
There's one.
There's one that I didn't.
Why?
Listen to. Why didn't I listen to it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't entirely.
Or more accurately, why do you continue not to listen to it?
I don't remember
because
which one.
There are definite episodes you have listened to multiple times. And yet this one, you won't even look it in the eye.
Okay.
What did this episode do to you?
I didn't listen to it for a reason at the time. And I don't think that reason is like persists, but now I don't remember which episode it is. And I don't know if I would go back to listen to it because, you know, I listen to an episode a week and that's plenty. So I might just be like, I'm not going to listen to like, two episodes in a week.
I can barely handle not throwing up just from the one every week.
Exactly.
Come on.
But if I remembered which one it was, I might listen to it because it'd be like completionist, you know, it's like, I got to listen to this.
Yeah,
I
haven't right. To it. Right. I'm like, well, and just so it doesn't feel bad.
But I don't even remember which one it is.
It's probably sad. Just go one time and scroll through all of the blog entries and listen for soft sobbing. And that's probably the one.
I think I could find it because I think there was a comment. I think in a comment I said, I haven't listened to this one. I might even have said that I didn't plan to.
If you know what episode William didn't listen to, tell us in the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com. Also, if any of you remember, I mean, at this point, it is two against one. So, but one of them is William. So the possibility that I'm confused and just remember all of this in detail, but it never happened. So yeah, if any of you remember us talking about the pistachio pedestal before, get on the blog and tell us. Or if you don't, do that too, and maybe we'll find out I'm crazier than we thought.
Well, it does look familiar. Like when I look at it, it's like, it seems like I've seen this before.
100%. I don't know where it was, a gift, I think, from my parents. So I don't know where it comes from, but it might have been Uncommon Goods, because that is 100% what mine looks like, including the little color around the edge. And they are awesome for a very specific purpose. I do recommend, and I think they'd be great for you and you're eating pistachios on the couch, as you told me about before.
Well, but peanuts too. It seems like it would work for peanuts.
I think it could work for peanuts. I have a trash can next to me. And so I have discovered, actually, I'm a little off peanuts right now. I get really into something and then I stop. I ate too many and now I'm like, eh. So I haven't bought them all. But mostly I just make sure my little shell bowl gets dumped frequently, so that if I do drop one, there's not as much to go through. So that has been helping with my lost peanut despair. But yeah, go to the blog. Tell us what you think. Tell us nice things about Beth, because I just cussed her out for absolutely no reason. And we should fix that. Not enough that I'm going to edit this, but you know, enough that other people should say nice things. You're wonderful, Beth. You're raising two children, and I'm not scared they're going to murder me in my bed. Other children, I don't know. Sorry, your hair is very dark and it just sort of blended into the thing. So all I could see was your vest. It just looked like a ghost walked in. It was very spooky. William and Beth just discovered the pistachio pedestal again for the first time. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Listen again next week. We'll probably have less Christmas stuff. We might have more Batman stuff. You never know. But we'll see. But hopefully we're on a nice normal deal now, and not that we've been missing any. We're consistent, you know that. And go to the blog and write us themagicaltalkinghat @gmail.com with cool things or dumb things, whatever, so that we have more to talk about, because I don't want to talk to him about what was he talking about today? Whatever it was, I don't like it. So, write us.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.